Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
He's got a thing of bacon out there. You could tell it was cooked by a chef because it was perfect strips.
Oh, he must have had a 3 Michelin star chef. The bacon was slightly underdone.
I'm just a pig farmer from Peterborough.
Mike is dead.
That's what I was told.
That'll make Jay and Dan happy.
Mike's not dead.
That's
He's not true.
I wish Mike died.
Wow.
Because I tell my kids, the only thing I'm scared of in life is a T-Rex. Dan O'Toole. How the f*** did you have a
yeah,
T-Rex?
Yeah, that was great.
Dan O'Toole killed by a T-Rex.
So long, my time is up.
Mine's going to say, Jay Onright, go f*** yourselves. Or, Jay Onright, I blew it.
I'm coming, baby!
I actually kind of like that. Elvis Presley. Ooh.
I actually have a Elvis jumpsuit made by...
The people that made Lancia his stuff.
Lancia that made his stuff.
Dan's yeah. really fixated on the ducks now. It's,
oh, were you that kid, Dan?
Is there duck shit everywhere?
No poop on green.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey! Dan. There I am, Dan. Thanks, brother. We did it. Podcast time, everybody. What are we, episode 62?
And again, you listen to the best of it, you're like, what the f*** is this podcast?
Yeah, nobody knows.
What?
That's what happens when you put no preparation into anything.
What are you talking about? We get this sheet. We get a sheet before every podcast.
That's true. That's yeah. true.
Welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast. I'm Dan. That's Jay. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Fox Sports Live, a show that we host every night at 11 Eastern.
On Fox Sports 1, America's new sports network, Fox Sports 1, 219 on DirecTV.
Big numbers on Saturday. We had our first ever Sprint Cup points race on the network.
On Sunday. Yeah. We had like 2 million viewers for our show.
That's right.
That's good, man.
Who knew motorsports on a channel that used to be speed would be big?
Yeah. You know what we should do? We should put more racing shows on this network and then eventually make it an all racing network.
See, I thought about that. What we've done though is we've rounded out our resume. Instead of just specializing in one thing, we're specializing in a bunch of things.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And we are thrilled to have the NASCAR Sprint Cup stuff on. Martinsville, huge success. Great finish. And we had the truck race on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. Came out of that. Everything's coming up. Jay and Dan, Toolsy. It's all working out. Hey, who's on the Canadian Wall of Fame this week?
Tom Green. I've mentioned before, we've played the CKDJ clips. Tom Green shot his show, a lot of the clips, in the Algonquin Cafeteria, which is home to CKDJ. Not the cafeteria. But Algonquin College was.
Tom went to Algonquin, right?
I think he did, but he shot stuff there. I don't know. He's an Ottawa guy. That's where he did all his crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
he's born and raised Ottawa guy, for sure. And good guy. We met him at some weird cable convention I keep getting emails about.
That's right. He was on, because his show's on Access, so he's there promoting his show.
That's right. He still has a talk show or something. I think he has a talk show.
Tom Green
on Access. He's still doing that?
Yes, he gets A-listers.
Unbelievable. Does he get Conor McGregor?
Yeah, Conor McGregor is our guest this week.
Hey,
boy, oh boy, he's
this
fired
is
up.
Huge. We're getting so excited. His big tilt with Jose Aldo.
Back to Tom Green for a second.
Yeah.
Great follow on Twitter. Sometimes he just posts his cell phone numbers. Like, give me a call.
Give him a shout. He's not doing anything except hosting his super successful talk show.
What a guy.
Yeah. You know, a funny guy. Has one ball. He's been very open about that. One nut.
It's been in the cult hit Freddy Got Fingered.
I thought that was a funny movie, personally.
Road Trip?
Yeah, he's in Road Trip. Jim brought up Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was looking at his bio. I don't think I ever saw that
Chad.
Movie.
He was the Chad in Charlie's
Chad.
Angels. I think that's how he met Drew Barrymore.
I think so, yeah.
And I think that's how they ended up getting married. And I think I've told this story, and I apologize, but my favorite story that Tom Green tells about his marriage is that he knew it was in trouble when they were on their honeymoon and they were playing Scrabble, and she tried to use Barrymore as a word in Scrabble. And he had to explain to her that she couldn't do that, and she didn't understand. And I think at that point he was concerned that maybe he had made a horrible
mistake. Maybe your wedding's in trouble or your marriage is in trouble if you're playing Scrabble on your honeymoon.
Yeah. Well, you need to do something in between the downtime. Sex sessions. Just to, I'm gonna f*** you. All right, let's play Scrabble.
Yeah, let's f*** again. Come on. Oh, I'm so happy to be married to you. You can't use Barrymore.
We have the cheap Scrabble board at my house. Just a disaster.
What is the cheap Scrabble board?
You put the, if someone nudges the table or the board at all, it's
Everything goes fine.
Is it imitation Scrabble?
No, it's the real
it's
one.
It's like Scribble but or Scrubble.
You need the ones where if you put
Scrubbly.
The if you put the tile in there, it stays put because it's cemented in. Not right. actually cemented, but it's locked in.
Once you
we have
put
that
the
one.
You has, have that one?
Yeah, it's a cement one.
It's good, yeah. And we have a travel one as well. The kids like to play.
Oh, yeah. But Scrabble's
we want you to enjoy the show.
But the one where they're locked in, that's like $100, right? That's big money.
Hey. It was a Christmas
Hey, Tulsa, we shop at Whole Foods. Money's not a no object for this crew here.
Yeah.
We were just discussing Whole Foods and how much we're enjoying it. And
How much was my bill? $100? I've got three things in my bag.
It's expensive. You can't get everything there. You have to pick and choose a few things. But they're more ubiquitous. Like in Toronto, there was like one of them, and it was in Yorkville, and it was impossible to get into, and it was like there's no point. Whereas here, they're everywhere. They're like just like grocery stores everywhere. They're all over the town.
And beautiful women, too.
Yeah, sexy. Yeah.
Wow.
What we were calling them tellers, but... We should be calling them
clerks.
Clerks. Sexy clerk sluts.
Checkout assistants?
Yeah. Checkers. Yeah.
Checkers.
I never
checkers?
Heard clerks at a grocery store, but I don't know.
What do you call them, Jim?
The hot chick at the register?
Yeah. Sexy sluts. The sexy clerk sluts.
Here's the one thing I will give Whole Foods. Brought something to the till, and it was like gummies, but it was like supposedly healthy
That's another
gummies.
Thing.
Don't
till?
Say till.
We don't. I don't think they say till.
Register.
Okay. So
I brought it to the register and I said, "Are these any good?" And the guy's like, "I don't know. Want to try them?" He opened them up. He
love
said,
it. How great is that?
That's cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Who's doing the books at that place?
Nah.
Are they important. Not saying, "Okay, where did this one go?"
Why not, eh?
But they have like all these pastries, and I'm like, do they sell all that? Like, what happens when it gets old? Do they give it to homeless people?
Yeah, because if you go in there late night, it's all gone.
Right.
It's all sold out.
So they just dump it off at like some homeless shelter?
You know who loves that place? Young Ruby O'Toole, my youngest. She goes in there. She knows it's Sample City.
Right, right. Just
she's just
gorgeous. Because you're not even feeding her. No. You're like, don't worry, we'll eat later. But Daddy, I'm so hungry.
So here's your lunch. Have some cheese.
Yeah. Eat a few more of these samples.
I'm just a pig farmer from Peterborough.
Can I please have another sample, please?
But there is a sign. I don't know if it was put there because of Ruby O'Toole. One sample per client.
I can't believe you do that. I can't
they have good beer and wine selection.
They do,
too.
Yeah. And again, something we don't have in Canada is beer and wine in the grocery store.
Oh, really?
Again, we don't
so
have
Whole Foods, if you want to sponsor the Jay and Dan podcast, it's a perfect fit synergy.
I think so. I think we're really Whole Foods guys, you know, hip and cool.
You can get your yerba mate, your gyaki yerba mate at Whole Foods.
That's true. And Jim got a delicious iced tea that he's enjoying right now from Whole Foods as well.
So before we get to Conor McGregor, big developments on our network this week.
Yeah. What's
big happening? Developments. There's another feud. Our first feud with an older gentleman was with Regis Philbin.
Yeah.
Now we've got a...
Reach no longer around.
Another feud with someone...
Green's gone.
We don't know why this came about, but let's play the clip.
Couple of things here. Number one, we just watched a segment with Katie Nolan, who was killing all the Fox people, but she's right. You know, the guys who have that 11 o'clock show they brought from Canada...
That's us.
Nobody. I don't even know their names.
What?
Nobody knows who they are.
Mike.
Nobody. They haven't hit it out, hit it off. Nobody even knows who those guys are. Those guys could walk through the streets of New York for a year, and not one person would even know who they were.
Well,
so a buzz? No buzz. No buzz. She is. I give her credit for saying it because she might need a job. I mean, you know, I don't. But she might because she's, you know, just starting out. But I give her credit. She's right about that.
Keep going.
Nobody knows who those guys are. Not a clue.
Why did you stop it?
Who they are. So and Fox is running here promoting those guys, or they're just terrible, one or the other.
Now, okay. So people said, oh, he's backing you guys up. You don't get any promotion. What's his name, Frank?
Mike Francesa. Yeah. We should give the Canadian listeners some context here. Mike's been on air in New York on radio for 30 years at least. He's a huge radio star there. He destroys everybody locally. And his show is simulcast on our network during the day, on Fox Sports 1 during the day. Or if we bump him because of soccer, which makes him very upset, he's on Fox Sports 2, which is somewhere in the 600s.
So everyone's saying, but he's backing you guys, saying you don't get any promotion. But then he ends this with saying, oh, maybe they're terrible.
But that, okay, I understand what you're saying, but he's saying, I don't know because I haven't seen him. Because, Dan, he's never going to watch anything past 8 Eastern at night. He's an old man. He's not going to watch us. Keith Olbermann tried to start a feud with him. He didn't know who Keith Olbermann was. He's been on TV in America for 30 years. He's not going to know who we are. It's not he's not trying to offend. He just literally has no idea who we are. I think my take on it was he was defending us because he's saying Fox isn't promoting us enough. I kind of agree with him.
Don't like it. We're not all on the same team?
He was kind of disrespectful, I think.
I don't think so. I don't think he was being disrespectful. I think he was just saying what he thought.
So when it comes to feuds with old guys, we lead the league. We lead the league.
I don't think it's a feud. I think he's on our side.
Full-on feud.
He wants us to do well.
Ryan Brumley's on camera. He's a star of the PA show. Ryan, your take.
Hater of the day, Mike Francesa.
Is that a segment on the PA show, Hater
yes.
of the Day? All right. Well, I mean, we can all agree to disagree. I'd love Francesa to pop on this podcast. Wouldn't that be great?
He's probably asleep by now.
Yeah, he's asleep. That's the problem. He goes to bed. He's tired. So
he hosts 5.5 hours of radio.
Honestly, that's the most amazing thing. It is 5.5 hours, isn't it? By himself.
Been on since 1987.
Like, that is insane. Why is he doing that?
It's a long day.
5.5 hours?
We want you to enjoy the show.
He probably sleeps in the studio and then goes straight home. He should. Or just have a bed in the studio again, then get up, do 5.5 more hours of radio.
When do you use the facilities? You have to take a pretty long break.
Adult diapers, just like the NASCAR drivers we talked about, remember?
But none of them have admitted to that.
But I'm saying Mike should do it because, again, he's getting older. And, by the way, this is like me. I got to pee every 2 minutes, too. I can only imagine Mike probably has to pee constantly. As he's peeing, he still has to pee.
So it's just a loop? His urine's on a loop.
No, I thought it was funny, like, people are like our friends at Awful Announcing. By the way, I felt bad, like, Andrew Buchholz, who writes for Awful Announcing, knows so much about the CFL, and he was... And I said on our show that no one breeds Awful Announcing but industry people. I didn't mean it in a bad way. It's just like Mike saying that about us. It's like, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's supposed to be for industry people. I'm trying to play peacekeeper here, everybody.
And then people were, don't jump on Katie Nolan. This was an old clip that they played out of. Katie's our friend.
Yeah, this was like from, I think, October 2014 or something. So I don't even know why he played this clip. Is this the clip? Do you have this Katie clip?
No, that wasn't. He just said Katie started a beef with Fox people.
Nah, that was.
Oh, but no. But where was the clip? Like, why did he start talking about the clip?
We don't know.
I could find
Nobody
it.
Knows.
No, we didn't know.
It's easy to find. She says something about it. It's basically the same thing. No one knows who we are in New York or something.
Anyway,
hey, that's fine.
So that
one city at a time. We'll take Boise, Idaho, and then the world. And then apparently your buddy Barry McDonald and our buddy Don Taylor heard about this Katie Nolan clip and started ripping into her. It's like, no, hey.
They said, who's Katie Nolan? Yeah, it wasn't. So don't go after Katie Nolan. She did not.
I feel like we've caused Katie enough problems as it is. Between my tweet where I was trying to pretend to do the Bill Simmons tweet and everyone took it seriously, to us spoiling the debut of her television show Garbage Time, which is on Fox Sports 1 every Sunday night at 9:30.
And you can catch it online. The entire episodes are online. She rode the Zamboni at Madison Square Gardens this week.
That's true, Dan. That's a good point. Like, unlike our show, you can actually watch her show in Canada on the FoxSports.com.
Mike, what are you doing
Mike,
over
Mike's
there?
Mike's looking for the Katie clip. You got it?
Mike's covering the
got
clips
it.
This week because Patrick is God knows.
Well,
we
haven't even discussed
this was a
Patrick.
Surprise clip.
We haven't even discussed Patrick. Where is Patrick again? He's visiting his niece?
Yeah, it's Charlotte, I guess. Yeah. But he did send that recap from the airport.
Wow.
Worked on it on the plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a cat landed. There. Wow.
Oh, I hope we have that as a drop next week.
Let's hear the Katie Nolan clip then, Mike.
You have that.
Fire it away.
Here we go.
Just hit play.
Just go for it, Mike.
Just hit the button.
You can do it.
Okay, Mike.
Here goes Mike.
Just play.
It's buffering, guys.
Everybody, what are we in the 90s? Is this that internet video?
Is it his niece, Charlotte, or is he in Charlotte?
I think
he's
in Charlotte. I don't know, actually.
Or is it his niece, Charlotte, in Charlotte?
I'm actually not 100% sure about that. I'm not 100% sure.
We miss you, Pat.
Yeah.
Here's Katie.
Okay.
Here's the Katester.
Okay.
Jay and... also known as Who and Who. This is America. Like, I get it. You guys are big in Canada, but like, this
there.
Is not that place. We're a real country with like real important stuff in it. Honestly, I think you guys should like start to really think about going back home. I mean, We had a British person on Crowd Goes Wild, sure, but where'd we send her? Back to the other side of the pond. Next up, Molly
Georgie.
McGrath from America's Pregame. Hey, Molly, you ever consider, you know, maybe not being so attractive?
Right, so let's stop really her right here. Yeah, these are real hard-hitting. She really got us there. Come on, people.
Yeah, so she was just tongue-in-cheek there.
God. Yeah, she knows Canada's a real country. Greatest country in the world.
The beef's already over?
It's over.
Ugh.
Or is it? You have more things you want to say?
Nope.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. What did you do this weekend, by the way? Just sit on your balls?
You know what was great? No, it was great. So we were out here at like 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, that was great.
Because we always work until 11 or 12. So our weekend starts at 11 or 12 at night. Getting out of here at 4 o'clock and then your weekend starting, you feel like a normal human.
Yeah.
You're driving home. Humans are awake in your house.
It was nice. It was very nice.
So it felt like a long weekend, even though we were off a regular 2 days. It was great.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It felt like a long weekend. It was really cool. Maybe we could convince them to let us do a Sunday afternoon show every week. And, right?
I don't know how much longer my family will be alive, though. We went to an indoor, it was called Pump It Up. Indoor bouncy place? I don't know.
Boy, you're leading a real wild life down here.
But they were sliding all over these things, and they came out of there, including my wife, like they had been through a war. They had, like, scrapes and everything, and I'm like, you're going to catch something.
Maybe they got in a fight.
No, I was there. I was overseeing it all.
Didn't participate?
I went down one of the slides.
So what, it was just a couple of little slides, and that's it?
No, like, you bounce around, and, like,
bounce on what?
Rascalian kids were like pushing kids. I wanted no part of that.
Rascalians?
Rapscallions. So my kids came out with all these like burns from the bouncy castles.
Is this a legal
place?
Like, is this just a couple of people on the side of the road with slides?
It's you're about to discover when you're becoming a parent. These companies open up these indoor playthings. They just open it in like a derelict. It's not a strip mall, but like a row of offices.
Industrial park.
Were you in Tijuana over the weekend?
And then they just put all these things in there, and then it's a gold mine.
Yeah.
So they get all these injuries, and all I can think about is when my buddy once got rug burn at one of those places, he got the flesh-eating disease from it.
Wait, what? Shut up.
He did. He got the flesh-eating disease, and they traced it back to him getting a rug burn at this place because airborne viruses and stuff. So,
wow.
Ugh, that's bad. Well, your kids could have had the flesh-eating disease.
I'm not going to get it.
They're leprosy? As we speak right now, half their limbs are gone.
So, good luck with that, kids.
Well, that's great. My dad turned 65 on Monday. He's getting up there. And I got him and my mom tickets to Dancing with the Stars because that's what she wanted to do. Because that's how marriage works.
And
turn 65, you do what your wife wants.
Did they
to
like
do.
It?
They enjoyed it very much, but they said they had great seats. They were right beside the stage where everyone dances. They were right next to Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank and Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
Robert
Herjavec.
Herjavec is dancing in it.
And who he's dating his dance partner.
Right, right. And so they said Kevin O'Leary was next to him. Tallulah and Scout, the Bruce Willis children, who are the sisters of the one Rumor,
yeah.
Who's dancing. They were sitting beside my parents, but my mom's like, oh, I couldn't see very well because the cameras were passing in front of us constantly. I'm like, Mom, it's not like a Broadway show. Like, it's a TV show. Like, you're going to have to look around cameras a little bit. But they had a terrific time. But I saw a great movie called While We're Young, a new Noah Baumbach movie with Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts. Awesome movie. It's about hipsters, people our age, having to interact with hipsters, basically. Toolsy, you'd love it. You'd be all over it. But
hates hipsters.
He really does. But the reason I bring this up is because Adam Horovitz from the Beastie Boys is in it in a supporting role. And Jim, I wanted to bring up the Beastie Boys with you for 6 Degrees.
Aha.
Great segment.
Jamming with Jimmers.
So this is a relatively new segment, 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim. We trace back if he knows all these artists and such. And Josh Dirtle, I mentioned someone recommended on Twitter, Josh Dirtle, at J Dird, is the one who submitted that suggestion. So thanks, Josh. And we're going to go with the Beastie Boys for 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim.
This is cool.
Yeah. One of my good friends who, when I first moved to Los Angeles, was letting me stay at his apartment.
Give us a year.
1986.
Great year.
And we worked together at the record plant. And he's one of the guys that showed me how to use one of these things right here.
Cool.
His name is Alan Abrahamson. And another Fox show, American Idol. He was Randy Jackson's engineer for years.
Wow.
He worked on Paul's Boutique.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
I just bought that on vinyl. What a record.
Kick ass, amazing on vinyl.
Yeah.
That's the way to listen to that record is vinyl.
Absolutely.
And so they did a lot of that record at Record Plant with Alan. And I was working, I think, next door with, like, Diana Ross or somebody like that.
What? We got to do 6 degrees with Diana Ross.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a few Ms. Ross stories.
Oh, man.
Anyways, Alan worked with those guys for a long time. And when they were working on demos for other records, they'd go to Alan, literally show up with, like, 4-track cassette tapes. Hey, man, can you help us out, figure out what we want to do?
Right, right.
Really cool guys.
I mean, Paul's Boutique, the thing about that record is there's so many samples on it. The running joke is that they're still getting sued for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But that was the crazy thing. Alan was telling me about how they wanted to put the beats together and get all those drops in and cut the samples together. That record is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
It's brilliant.
And our other one is, this one was suggested a lot, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, you got a lot of Johnny Cash suggestions.
Yeah. And so everybody, thank you so much for all the suggestions. Keep them coming because I love it. And when I'm at home or whatever, looking at Twitter, I crack up and I start trying to think of stuff. It's really cool. Thanks, everybody. So Johnny Cash. First of all, I worked with a lot of great people, right? And I was always really kind of pretty good about not necessarily being starstruck, just kind of doing my thing. I was working on I think it was Peter Bogdanovich was the director, and this was when I was at Paramount. That's the first time I worked with Johnny Cash. I think the movie was called, like, Fresh Horses or something like that. In any event, he did a song with his wife, June, for the movie. And Peter was in the studio and all that stuff. And they came in from Nashville, and I was setting up to record him. There was nobody else in the studio, and there was this really long hallway in the scoring stage at Paramount, we walk into the control room, and it's super, super narrow. It's like this black tunnel. And I just saw this giant silhouette at the other end of the hallway, and I'm kind of walking through trying to set up, like, the mic in the vocal booth, which is off that hallway. And I just see this kind of luminous figure walking down, and I can't tell who it is. And we meet in the middle, and literally it's like pitch black. And he totally does the, "Hi, I'm Johnny Cash," you know? I was completely awestruck, you know? And he and his wife, June, were just the sweetest, nicest people. It was a great session. They did great on the movie and stuff like that. And cut to years later, with my relationship working on all the stuff with Billy Bob, he was super tight with Johnny Cash. And they actually recorded a version of Ring of Fire together. Wow. That is amazing.
Wow.
And so I got to meet him a few other times when we were out in Nashville and stuff like that. And when I was there, I was kind of bummed, you know, sort of in Johnny's, when he was starting to get older and older and not doing so well health-wise. And Billy went out to his house, but I never made it out there. But I have so many connections to him. Also, I did a lot of stuff with Marty Stewart, who's, you know, country music legend. And Marty was like his band director for years. I think he was even married to one of his daughters, I think, at one point in time. In any event, he now lives in Cash's old house.
Wow.
And I have another connection. When we did Billy's... I'm trying to remember all the. I guess it was his first record, and we were out in Nashville recording. Cash came down with his wife June, and we did some stuff with her. And I've done since then some re-releases of some of his catalog stuff with John Carter, actually.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So Johnny must be one of those guys where he can't just slink into a room. When Johnny Cash enters a room, you'd be like, holy.
Oh. God, the guy's amazing. Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah.
It's Johnny Cash. One of my first memories of really kind of getting into music, my brother had gotten a cassette tape of Folsom Prison Blues, you know, and I was a little kid, and he had it on one of those dictaphone kind of, you know, mono cassettes that you kind of slid in the top and, you know. And my parents gave it to him as like an early Christmas present on Christmas Eve. And, you know, I got to hang with my brother in his room, you know, the night Christmas Eve and listen to the whole record. It blew my mind.
Maybe smoke a little weed.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
It's pretty cool. So, I have a great connection to him. Really cool stuff.
I love 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim. This is like one of my favorite segments we've ever done on the podcast.
I have a Johnny Cash connection.
Oh.
I was golfing in Jamaica once on Cinnamon Hill. And you have a caddy at this course. My caddy had a watch on, but it had no face on it. It's very strange. So he's driving around.
It was a Fitbit.
He didn't recommend using any clubs. He was just there for the ride. He drove my cart. So he goes, "Oh, you know Johnny Cashman?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "That's his house. He used to live there, man." And I'm like, "Oh, do you ever see him?" He goes like, "Yes, he'd sit there on his lawn all day, play the guitar, and just smoke weed. All day." So, like, you'd be going by on the golf course and you'd get to see Johnny Cash just on his front lawn strumming away.
Just with a cannon.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That was the house that they were held hostage in, him and his wife, way back when.
Not good in your vacation home to be held hostage. That's never crazy. A good situation.
I don't think in any home.
No, specifically vacation home. Because it'd be bad in your own home. But to know you'd specifically sought out this vacation place for tranquility only to be kidnapped there, that would be really soul crushing. By the way, our good friend David Featherstone is now manning the handheld camera. Ryan Brumley just slinked away.
Slinked away. Spot duty.
And David's here with us, so good to have David here. Literally the fastest moving human I've ever met. He always runs all around. And there, one time I was walking up the stairs here at Fox, and David was coming down the stairs, running down the stairs, and tripped. and I almost caught him. And I thought, what if I hadn't been here? You'd be dead right now.
But he's not. Now he's here
alive.
On the podcast.
Thank God. Thank God he is, because he's a fantastic guy. So we're glad to have him here. We got to call Pete.
No, let's get to our guest.
Oh, let's get to our guest first. Yeah, yeah.
Conor McGregor. This guy is a human tornado.
He's incredible. He's looking for the title. He's fighting Jose Aldo July the 11th, pay-per-view in Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in.
Conor McGregor,
unbelievable.
Everybody. Conor McGregor.
Unbelievable.
Come on in. There
unbelievable.
We go. There we go.
Not staged
nice
at all.
Not
great to see you, Conor.
Always looking like a million bucks. Have a seat.
That's for you, sir.
He's messed it up.
So, Conor, this is your last thing to do today. You've been doing media since 5 a.m.
5 a.m.? Really?
Yeah, this is the business we are in, you know, so. But work pays, so I'm happy to be here.
But you're good at it. Do you like this kind of stuff, or after a while does it become tiresome for you and you wish you were just training?
You know, I definitely prefer training, but I am getting better with it as it goes. It seems to me it's normal life now.
Nice.
It's normal.
Can I just ask you a quick question? You were a plumber before you became a fighter.
Yes, we
love talking about shit on this podcast. We're kind of obsessed with it. Do you have a good shit story from your days as a plumber in Ireland?
Yeah, you know, for me, I was just a first year apprentice, so I was the guy that had to go and get everything or go to the shop and stuff like that. So I was just the go-getter. So
you avoided the shit.
Thankfully, I avoided the shit.
Now
yes.
You jump into the shit. Full force.
Yes.
You are kind of like the modern day Muhammad Ali. The way you have the gift of the gab.
I am myself. Muhammad Ali is a special individual. He is on his own. He changed culture. Period. I am my own man. I am here representing my country on the biggest fight platform there is, and that is it. But for people to say that, I take great pride in that. It is an honor to hear that. But I cannot lay claim to something like that.
Tell us, when you are in the octagon, what happens in Ireland? Does the entire country shut down?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
We love to fight. We support our own. If one of our own is competing in any sport, in any craft in the world, we as Irish, we get behind our people, and it is no different for me when I step inside the octagon. They have my back 100%, and I am forever grateful.
Is it possible to let us into your mind when you enter the octagon, or maybe when you're walking to the octagon, what's going through your head? Because it just must be a level of excitement, nervousness, everything that most of us will never experience.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience that it's very hard to explain the experience. A lot of times, it's different for each individual fight. Emotions are different for each individual fight. But for me, I feel I've got so comfortable in these situations that my mind is completely blank. I am calm when I walk in there. It almost is like a sigh of relief when I begin to make the walk. It's like, now I am here. Now I am here. This is why I do this. Mm-hmm. For this particular moment. So I like to embrace it. But my mind is calm. My thoughts are slow. And that is it.
So you can actually block out everything?
You know, it's important not to block out everything, because there is energy in the crowd. There's energy that you do, you know, you feed off of the crowd. But at the same time, you do not want to get full off of the crowd. So you must find a healthy balance. And
right.
through experience, you gain that. Some don't. And some do, of course.
So you're going to have all the Irish fans travel with you, and then for Jose, all the Brazilian fans travel. So who's gonna win out? I feel like in the stands, there might be more fights in the stands than in the octagon that night.
Yeah, I feel, you know, with alcohol and stuff, maybe there will be some Brazilian versus Ireland contests going on in the stands or around the strip. But I hope not, certainly. You know, I believe it will be a good atmosphere overall. You know, it will be a good energy, both countries colliding. The war will take place inside the octagon. But as far as who will win over who, I don't feel... Somebody asked me the other day, the chance for the Brazilians is Uva Moher, which is you will die, and the chance for the Irish is there's only one Conor McGregor. These are like chants that ring through the arena every time. And the Brazilian journalist asked me, what do you think will happen when both fans collide? Like, what the sound will be like? And I said, the Brazilians will not even be heard.
Well, Jose said he guarantees he'll win. He says after studying your moves, he's guaranteeing a victory. When you hear something like that from an opponent like that, what does it make you think?
The mouth can speak certain things, but the eyes cannot. So when I look at him, I will definitely win.
Now at the weigh-in, Dana White has actually said, you cannot, if you touch him, there's going to be hell to pay. Have you guys had an aside? Do you know what you're going to do at the weigh-in?
No, you know, I will take it as I go. Jose's coach rang crying, please, Dana, please, I beg you, keep Connor away from my son. So Dana called me, please, Connor, please, I beg you. So it's all good. As long as he does not speak my name in vain, we are good. When they beg for mercy, there is no need to act upon it.
Now, your training camp, are you still based in Ireland, or have you moved to North America yet?
No, I am born, bred Irish. My home is Dublin. My team is Dublin. My gym is Dublin, Straight Blast Gym. And that is it. I am based in Ireland now. I will go home after this world tour. I will have maybe 8 weeks in Dublin with my team, with my coach. And then we will pack up. We will move. We'll have a nice house set up in Vegas. We're going to set up a gym. We're going to have a chef. We're going to have everything all set up. And we will relocate to Las Vegas to prepare for the climate and the time difference.
Now, right. Dan is about to turn 40, and he's Irish-Canadian.
O'Toole.
So nice. He wants maybe some tips when he goes to Dublin for the first time. Maybe you can give him a few travel tips, things he should do, things he shouldn't say to a nice Irish lass in Temple Bar.
You know, the Irish, we are friendly and we are accommodating. You will be welcomed with open arms. But if you piss one of us off, then there is nothing you can say. You must just run.
And I think all the O'Toole, there's a lot of O'Toole's in County Cork. I think that's where I have to go.
Maybe, so. Yeah. Cork is a good city. Yeah, maybe you should head there. But
all right, July 11th, UFC 189, you against Jose Aldo. I wish you the best of luck. We can't wait to watch it.
Thank you so much.
And pay-per-view numbers are going to be through the roof. I heard you say, Pacquiao, Mayweather, forget about it. You're going to approach those numbers.
I believe so. I mean, Pacquiao Mayweather is a phenomenal contest. I feel it should have happened 5 years ago, like many others feel. I just don't feel it has the same pop. I feel Manny has aged a little bit. Now, Manny is a legend. Floyd is a legend. But I feel the age and just Manny's KOs or KO losses. And it doesn't have the same pop for me. This is two men in their prime. This is a supposedly the pound-for-pound featherweight king in Jose Aldo. And this is the pound-for-pound featherweight king in the notorious Conor McGregor, both meeting in their prime in the purest form of unarmed combat with no limitations. I see it being competitive.
Yeah, I think that's a understatement.
When you win, do you say it in the ring again? We're rich again. I loved when you said that. Oh,
that's it. You know, I will head backstage and I will begin counting my favorite pastime.
Well, safe trip back to Ireland, and thanks for stopping by. Best of luck. I know it's been a long day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Conor.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you,
Conor McGregor.
Everybody, unbelievable.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Awesome.
Take care, Connor.
Best of luck. Connor McGregor, what a guest.
Man, that was an impeccably tailored jacket he was wearing there. That was a nice jacket.
We are the only interviewers that ever started an interview with Connor McGregor about a plumbing joke or a plumbing question.
Yeah, he was just an apprentice. I got incorrect information on that one.
He doesn't want me going to Dublin. He's like, hey, yeah, I think you should go there. County Cork.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't want your kind of Irish in his part of Ireland.
I can see that.
All right, but you're not going to Ireland this year. You're going to wait.
No, we're
going to
hold it off. We probably want to plan it a bit more. I've put no planning into it. So next year. Next year's the year.
Send in your suggestions for Dan's trip to Ireland exactly 1 year from now.
I only want to go to Ireland if Peter Schrager, our NFL insider, will be my tour guide. Peter Schrager.
What's up, Dan? How you doing, buddy? Look, I get a St. Patrick's Day parade every year here in New York. I've done plenty of Ireland just from that, and it's more than enough for me.
And you toured around in the last World Cup. You were going from bar to bar. You went to an Irish bar, didn't you?
I did. We had a blast. The Irish, they know how to drink. They have a good time, good people. All together. If I'm going to places in Europe, I haven't hit up Spain yet. I haven't hit up Portugal. I might hit up those before Ireland, but eventually I would like to do it. This Conor McGregor, I was just listening to you guys talk to him. I saw his press conference in Dublin where he's grabbing the belt from this Jose guy or Jose or whatever his name is. I don't follow the UFC. I even tweeted about it today. I said, I don't watch much UFC. A lot of it I think is, you know, whatever. This guy has me interested.
Yeah. That's right. He grabbed the belt, and Dana White, you could see him stifling laughter because he can just see the pay-per-view numbers going up second that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Dana White wearing a green polo shirt, really getting into it.
Dana White. Conor McGregor is the next big star. I mean, but this is huge. He's got to win this fight.
He's got to win this.
Yeah, he's got to win this fight. And Jose Aldo is a good fighter.
Peter Schreger, you were on the road. You were just at Jameis Winston's pro day.
Whoa.
Just in Tallahassee, Florida. It's an interesting flight. You fly into Atlanta, then you take a little puddle jumper down there, and it's all NFL executives in the gate. Everyone's talking, schmoozing. And then we get there, and it's 100 degrees. It's a sweat box. And where Mariota, the other guy, Marcus Mariota's pro day was about 1 hour long. He came out, threw a few passes, mumbled to the cameras, and left. This guy, Winston, it was an eight-hour circus, a showcase, and it was consistent with his character. This guy loves the bright lights. He performed well. Everyone seems to like him within the NFL, regardless of what the media thinks. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. I've been saying it since the end of the college season, the end of the NFL season. No one wanted to listen, but it is a slam dunk. He will be going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, Schregs, now has Joel Klatt, who's a friend of the podcast, the podcast listeners love him as well, but he, all along, has been touting Mariota as the number one pick. Has he finally conceded? Because it seems, Shregs, that you are right, that everyone is sort of accepting the fact that Winston
would be the
number
one. Of course I'm
right.
I'm talking to people who work in the NFL. Of course I'm right. What do you think? Joe Klatt has two eyes. He's judging it on a gut instinct. That's not how this works. Look, I talked to Klatt about it yesterday, and I was like, all right, now that you've been with me and you've heard me have conversations and you yourself have conversations, will you concede? And here's how Joel is straddling it. And, as a guy who's a fan of gang showers, I say that loosely. He's really straddling this whole thing. Joel is saying that, okay, he's going to be number one to Tampa, and I get it because they need a quarterback who can play right away, but Mariota's a better player, and Mariota will have the better career. So then it's like, all right, you're kind of saying, no, he's not the top pick in the draft, but he's still the top player. Buccaneers just don't know what they're doing, and you, Joel, you know better, and we can look back at this in 5 years and we'll all say Joel was right all along.
Well, I mean, he could be right about that. He could be.
No,
but
he's
wrong about the fact that he's going to go number one, because clearly he's
not. No, and it makes good discussion because everything Joel says is right. Joel says that Mariota won't be the first one to pick up the NFL offense, but in the long run is maybe the smarter player, the better leader, and will come into his own, and there's still, you know, all this potential. And he's right with that. I mean, there's a chance that Mariota's the greatest we've ever seen. But Jameis Winston's an NFL quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback today. He's an NFL quarterback yesterday. He'll be an NFL quarterback tomorrow. And if you're the team with the top pick and your jobs are relying on having an NFL quarterback under center, Jameis Winston's the guy.
Yeah.
Peter Schreger, so you were in Tallahassee. That means you traveled from New York. Whenever Peter Schreger travels, things don't go smoothly. Anything happen?
No, everything was okay yesterday. There was one thing, though. I mean, if you're a young parent, let's say you're in your 30s, maybe your 20s, and you got more than three kids, maybe you only could travel with all of them. Right? Maybe you leave a couple at home. I'm just saying, when we're at the gate and you got four kids under the age of 10 running around, crawling all over your shoulders and screaming like maniacs, maybe you leave one at home. Maybe you put one in a kennel. Maybe you do something with one of them. Because I'm boarding this flight, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's horrible parenting going on. And I'm looking at this poor mother with the father, by the way. They're both there. And they don't care. Yeah. They're just letting their kids run ragged all over the place. It's their little playground. It's a gate, you know? Sure. And there's four different kids with this family. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, look, I don't have any kids. I can't judge. I don't know what it is. But maybe you leave one at home. Maybe grandma comes along and takes another flight with some of them. You need four of them kicking the back of my seat screaming. Guys, okay, I guess I did have a rant after all.
The thing I can't wrap my head around when I see kids traveling are the kids running around the terminal with the diapers are overflowing with feces and
shit everywhere.
And you look around, so this kid's banging into your leg, and so you look around, not a single human is looking at this child, but how do you make it that far? How do you have a kid and not care where it is?
Oh, I mean, it's just running around ragged, and you're just hoping that someone is keeping an eye on him other than you, the parent, because you're checking your iPod and making sure you downloaded the latest episode of Serial. I mean, it's ridiculous with these kids. So here's the other thing, though. I mean, this is what kills me. Now I guess the airlines, they sell the ticket where if you've got, like, a little baby, they just sit on the lap, right? So it's like you've got some little, like, 8-month, whatever, I don't know, fetus, amoeba, whatever you want to call
fetus,
these things.
Yeah.
They sit on the lap of the parent. So if you bought a ticket saying you're in the window, the middle seat might very well be not only a 300-pound woman, but her 8-month-old child kicking, screaming, crying all over you, and, oh, wait, they paid for the ticket, so they're good.
Yeah. No, you're right about that, Trey.
Guys, I'm outraged.
No, but
here's one more.
Oh.
Here's one more for you, Jay. I'm not done, bud.
Well,
here's one more. Hey, and when you board the plane, I'm not trying to be an elitist here, but I've flown enough where, yeah, I get priority, so I'm in zone one. I want to walk on the plane. Why do I have to wait for this 4 kids, the 2 parents, and their 7 strollers to get on before me?
Hey, priority. the kids get on there first because they know the problems.
They only do that to help you, Shregs. They're trying to help you. They want to get them on there,
no more,
settled.
There's no more room for my big, giant, overflowing bag of change of underwear and socks.
The best is when they call the zones out and say you're zone 2 and you get there, and 37 people are in front of you, and they're like zone 7.
And then
my zone.
Oh,
yeah, and then the lady has to be like, if you're zone 7, we did not call zone 7.
Those gate agents are sweethearts. They're always the nicest women. They're never going to turn you away. So if you walk in at zone 10, they just say, all right, go on. And
go ahead.
Hey, but all things considered, guys, I love kids. I really do. I'm a big kid guy.
Shrakes, I know you love Mike Francesa. You've been a listener. Maybe give our listeners some more perspective on this, because I tried to kind of explain a bit about him, but you obviously have been listening to him your whole life growing up in Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, what do you need to explain? He's number one in the world, and he's been for 30 years. I mean, he's the best talk radio host alive. He does a 6-hour show every single day from New York, 6 hours alone, and he doesn't care who's below him. He's number one. He's the best. He's got the best callers. He's been around forever, and I'm not trying to say I'm some talk radio expert, but there's no talk radio show I'd rather hear than Mike Francesa. That's those sports, politics, whatever. He's an absolute gem, and I'm glad he's on Fox Sports 1.
And he drinks, what, 12 Diet Cokes a shift?
That's all internet meme stuff. The Diet Cokes are sleeping on air. That's lazy. Look, if you want to listen to Francesa, you'll be just delighted. It's wonderful. He dismisses people like they're ants. I love that about him. Any comers that come at him, he doesn't even know who they are. So Michael Kay, who has the voice of
the Yankees play-by-play guy,
he's trying to take him on. He's on some hack-night ESPN station that no one listens to. Francesa just laughs at it because the ratings tell the story. He's the number one. He's the king of New York.
So we should be embracing his tutelage instead of, right?
No. You should play a part of it. You don't have to embrace. But you guys should absolutely take it as an honor that he even said your names on the air. And I would listen to what he said.
Well, he didn't say our names. He doesn't know our names.
Yeah, he doesn't know
the Canadians. He said the Canadians.
Yeah, that's true. He did say the Canadians.
He wasn't talking about Julie Binks and her friends. He's talking about you guys.
That's true. He was. That's how people know us here, too. They all call us the Canadians.
But what he said was, I wouldn't know those guys in New York. Guys, maybe we need to take a little New York trip. Maybe it's time to get a little outreach going outside of your L.A. bubble. I want a Jay and Dan road trip, because when we went to Sochi, guys, you stole the show. I mean, you left that country. Russia knows Jay and Dan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Russians love us.
Hey, Jay, Dan, how many times have you been to New York since you started at Fox Sports 1?
I've been a couple of times just to hang out with you, though. That didn't really
help. Not work. It might be time for you guys to build a little fence, a little olive branch. Now, you don't have to extend it, but I would do anything to have you part of the Mongo Nation, you guys a part of Francesa's world, and for you guys to be in the studio with Mike. I mean, it's an easy fix. This is great.
You would think that since Mike is on Fox Sports 1 and we're on Fox Sports 1, that the Fox talent bookers would have already booked us on Fox Sports 1. What are they doing right now?
Mike has been on Fox Sports 1 for over a year.
Yeah.
You guys have been on Fox Sports 1 for nearly 2 years.
2 years.
For you guys not to be on Mike Francesa's show yet is a crime to humanity. Because I think, honestly, I think the Francesa listeners, they would love you. Yeah. You guys would be a hit. Everyone who
doesn't
listens
love us
to you guys on the podcast is also friends of Francesa here in New York. You're not going to find many people who say, oh, can't stand Mike Francesa in this city. So if you get on there, you get on board, great promotion for you guys. Because
love it.
Truly, truly, he is huge in New York, and that's a major media market.
And we could do Garbage Time with Katie Nolan, too.
You can do an appearance.
Two birds, one stone.
Just bring your own lights, bring your own audio, and we'll go from there.
Peter Schreger, speaking of your great city, want you to jump on the Rangers and the Islanders bandwagon because it's almost playoff time, so you're going to have to give us the buzz of the Rangers and Isles when everything gets rolling here.
I can't wait. Dude, when I see Pierre Turgeon go up against Kelly Kissio, everything stops. When Jeff Bookaboom comes out and Benoit Hogue is thinking he's going to have an easy day at the office and Bookaboom just lays him out, I am watching. No, I don't watch hockey, guys. You know that. I told you that.
But you're going to be our insider. We're telling you now.
I don't do hockey. When they re-sign, I'm trying to think of some other one. Isa Tikkanen comes back for the Rangers.
Isa Tikkanen. Do we have the banana hot dog drop?
Scores a goal right over Glenn Healy's shoulder. I'm in. I'm watching.
Where is the banana hot dog?
These Islanders are moving to Brooklyn, and my friend Jay called me up and was like, hey, crazy idea. Do you want to divvy up some tickets and get involved? It's not that far.
We'll take
the subway. I'm considering. I might buy a season ticket package to see the Islanders. I might do it.
Do it, Shregs. You got to do it.
John Tavares, he's a superstar.
Yeah, you got superstars there, Shregs.
You got John Tavares. You got Steve Webb. You've got
Webby.
Brian Trottier, Nystrom.
Bossy's there. Tinelli. They're all still playing. They're all still playing for the
Islanders. Anytime Billy Smith is between the pipes, I'm watching.
Shregs, thanks as always,
Shregs,
my friend.
Extremely entertaining.
One last question. Did we find Mike Botticello's interview with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell, and have we played it yet?
Good question. Can we? Can we play it on this podcast?
Sure.
Okay, has it been on FoxSports.com
yes,
yet?
Yes, it is.
It's okay. Up there
We're
now.
We're going to find that for you,
after
Shregs.
The movie opened this weekend.
Mikey,
number
I'm
one comedy.
I'm trying to get you the airtime. I love it.
Hey, okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, we're gonna play that on a future podcast. Peter Schreger, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, boys.
He is our NFL insider, Peter Schreger. You can follow him on Twitter at pschrags, P-S-C-H-R-A-G-S. He also has a very popular podcast. This week, his guest is Brady Quinn.
Yeah, that's a must listen. Brady, we got to bring Brady back on the pod.
Brady's going to be trying out. He's not giving up the NFL.
Yeah, doing the veterans combine.
That's my Brady Quinn.
Yeah, that's you as Brady.
Me as Brady Quinn.
He said something I was just thinking. Oh, Tyson Nash. Speaking of insiders, former NHLer Tyson Nash, now a color guy for the Arizona Coyotes. He is going to be our NHL insider for the Stanley Cup on Fox Sports Live, nightly 11 Eastern on Fox Sports 1 each night.
Yeah, we had Panger last year. Panger, he's doing other stuff.
Panger is working for the Sportsnet guys up there. Can't get away. Can't do it this year. That's cool. Good for him. You know, that's
great.
Fun.
Panger's a
gets
great
to hang
guy.
Out with our boy Kipper.
That's right, Kipper.
Yeah,
the boner killer.
But at the same time, very excited to have Tyson Nash on. Funny guy. Most Canadian-sounding Canadian of all time.
We played a clip last week where...
We got to find that clip.
What the hell? I forget what happened.
It was because Buffalo and Arizona were playing, and it was the bust bowl, basically. They both wanted to lose, and so Buffalo fans were cheering when Arizona scored, and he just said...
Yeah,
he really scored a goalie or something. Like, it was just like so stereotypical. It was great, actually. And he's been living in Arizona for like... 5-6 years at least.
Yeah, so we'll get his perspective on. Can't wait for the playoffs to start. It's gonna be a wild finish. We should mention Tom Green, who's on the Canadian Wall of Fame, huge Ottawa Senators fan.
That's right.
They've kind of hit a bit of a speed bump on their quest for the playoffs.
Well, the Bruins got hot again, man. It's tough. Oh man, I'm so excited about the playoffs, and I really want all the Canadian teams to make it, but I don't think it's gonna happen for Ottawa.
Yeah. Ah, well, can't win them all, right?
Dagger?
Hey, guys.
How are you, buddy?
Was that like a Marlon Brando kind of deal there, Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like really thinking hard about it. Like I really wanted them to make.
I didn't know if you said. I didn't hear you say my name at all. I just thought you were going right into it.
No.
Tagger, you ever have any run-ins? Not run-ins, but dealings with Tom Green.
Greener.
I saw him a couple times here and there. He was supposed to do like a 1999. We were doing this big New Year's show in Ottawa, the big Y2K worries.
Oh,
yeah.
Year. That's right. All the computers
and
are
we were
stop
like,
working.
It was a ridiculous amount of money we were getting paid for this, and the tickets were super high. And people were, like, not doing stuff. Remember? I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, the world was supposed to come to an end.
Yeah.
Events were, like, down across the board.
Absolutely.
So, like, we just weren't selling any tickets, and I guess it never came to be. But he was supposed to host it at the time, back in the day. So
wait,
never...
so did you end up doing the show?
No, we never. The show never happened, and
wow.
We never got to work together. But I did see him host some other things, and he's always a good time.
Speaking of a hosting... you guys have sold out the pre-sale tickets for the Taggart and Torrens appearance at Canadian Music Week. Is that right, Jeremy Taggart?
We did, and thanks for knowing that. That's fantastic. We rolled out the barrel, and the barrel's hot, so things are good. We got like we're gonna put some more, like a bunch more, not many. There's I think 30 tickets left. We're gonna put them up for tomorrow, Thursday, but. That'll be it. We'll be probably through the rafters, and it will be a TNT extravaganza celebration of comedy and Canadianity, boys.
Such a legendary
catered
venue.
By Mr. Green Jeans.
That'd be great. Remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was tough to find at the Eaton Center in Toronto. It was on the top floor by all the offices.
Yeah, you could always write on the chalkboard in the can.
Yeah. That's right. It's gone now,
holy.
Isn't it? It was there still up until like a year ago, and I think it's finally gone.
It was always a big deal as a kid to go to that place.
Mr. Green.
Good bathroom party.
Did you ever go to IP Looney's in Ottawa?
No, that sounds pretty crazy, though.
That was the place where you went, and if you're wearing a tie, they'd cut it off.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Way
too casual.
My parents went there once, and we as kids, they tell us the story. They're like, yeah, we saw them cut someone's tie. We're like, what? We need to go to this place.
Yeah. Oh, so did your dad wear a tie then? And then
my dad was full on farming at that point. He was not wearing a tie.
Not buying ties.
No.
Not picking up many ties. What if you're wearing like a really expensive tie?
And that's what I always said. Someone, but what if it was expensive?
Yeah, and then someone cut it off, and then you just punch the waiter right in the face for doing that.
Boys, Mr. Green Jeans shuts down after 34 years in the Eaton Center.
There
it was September 3rd, 2014.
There you go.
Yeah,
right? Just
me,
shut down.
It makes me sad. I miss that place, going there with my grandma.
Yeah. What was the other place? It was right on Theater Row. It was the it was owned by Honest Ed. He had a big. It was Fine Dining. That one also shut down.
Oh, the Spaghetti Factory.
No, that wasn't the Spaghetti Factory. Spaghetti Factory.
That's still going, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, they're
like
a successful chain now.
Oh, it's huge. You just slap some spaghetti down there, kids. Shut up.
You guys, you ever end up on the fifth floor at the Eaton Center the bathroom there? There's some shady. Going on in there, boys.
Do tell.
Well, it's one of the most famed places for life. A friend of mine's a security guard in the Eaton Center, and the place is just like a hubbub of crazy sexuality.
Oh, really?
The old, like, you know, go in the stall and then knock three times, and then all of a sudden some burly dude shows up.
Right, right. It's like
you rang.
The old tap the shoe kind of thing. The old.
Would you like
tap.
A bear or a little skinny guy?
Yeah, that's the old one where your foot, if you put it over into the other stall.
Who is that Minnesota? Was he a governor or senator who did that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That creep. He's like,
right?
He throws up money. He's like, what do you think, buddy? And the guy's like, no.
And,
no thanks,
and, he, and his defense was that he had a wide stance when he took a
Wow.
Yeah, he said, I have a wide stance. I love that.
I was man-spreading.
Jay and I are having an email discussion with Robert Lucetich, our golf insider, this week. And he's been on the podcast. And he says he was once in a stall, a morning stall at an airport, I always say, is the worst smelling place on earth. But the gentleman next to him was having a very loud, animated phone conversation. And he kept saying, hang on a sec. And then he'd go,
no.
and then go back to his phone call.
That's not good for your sphincter. That's bad. You got to let it just happen. You can't push it out like a baby.
Oh, the worst I ever experienced, I went in to take a pre-flight pee. It was a Toronto to Fort McMurray flight. And the gentleman, he looked haggard. He was heading back to the fort. And he went in and violently vomited for 5 minutes. And then got on that flight. What a trooper.
Violently vomited. The Dan O'Toole star.
Oh, just imagine sitting next to that puke breath.
Oh, puke
that
stain.
Is craziness. Hey, I don't know if this is totally off base or crazy, but I just wanted to. I remembered a fun night that I had with a guy who people might forget, but they don't in Winnipeg because he was played with the Thrashers, Dan Snyder. You guys remember
Dan? Hell yeah,
Snyder?
Yeah.
I remember we were playing, I think, in Montreal at the Bell Center, at the Molson Center at the time. And Heatley was there with him, and they were best friends. And just wanted to say how much of a good time that guy was. Like, he knew all the Argo chants. He'd be like, Argos! And, like, if someone was, like, not into it, he would do it, like, way longer and way louder. Just a classic beauty and gone way too soon. Yeah. And I don't know why. I just, for some reason, wanted to mention that I really had a good time with that guy. And appreciated his soul. So there's an award for him, I believe. The Dan Snyder Award is, I think the Jets carry it on, don't they?
Yeah, gone way too soon. Yeah. Speaking of the Argos chant, do they still do that at Leafs games? Because whenever you go to a J game or something, you'd hear some buffoon yell out, Argos.
I love it. That's great.
That. That's not buffoon. That's like the beauty of the day right there.
Yeah,
that's hot of the week.
That's carrying over a little history.
And are the horns, do they not sell the horns anymore?
The long horns? Those. All I think about when I think of a CFL game is just that one lone guy with a horn is like... there's always one guy, right?
So much. Didn't they ban those?
They might have. They're like vuvuzelas.
You weren't allowed to bring them in because someone would get banged up and do it right in front of the guy. In front of the I remember my brother would do it to me and I'd be so pissed off. It's so loud.
I know. It's so
speaking
good.
Of the CFL,
my brother used to always, when I was a kid, I used to think like, I think my dad would say that's an actual guy doing that. So I pictured some like bald guy just like they pay him to do it. That should be in a kid going, seriously?
I'd always picture the
veins crushing out of his face.
Imagine being in front of that person the entire game. Speaking of the CFL, big rule change on the punts now. You can't murder the guy when he catches the ball.
It's disappointing. I like that.
You got to give him.
Really?
You got to give him like three steamboats or three Mississippis.
Well, there
or
was the no yards penalty. You had to give him five, right? But
hey, have you guys gone to any games at all? Like, do you get to go back? Did you go to any Rough Rider games at all this year?
We went to the Corner Gas.
Yeah, we went to the season opener this year, actually.
That's right, and then you went to the Cactus, didn't you?
No, because the Cactus is in Skatoon. We couldn't get up there that
time. That's right. Here, I'm being a kid. No.
We went to O'Hanlon's, though. That's where we go.
Oh, that's a good time.
Yeah, we like O'Hanlon's and the Gine. Actually, we just booked another gig in the Gine for November.
Nice. That's right. For
nice.
Bear.
Yeah, I thought it was Bayer Pharmaceuticals, but it's crops. It's crops and stuff.
When you think Bayer crop fertilizer, you think Jay and Dan.
You think Jay and Dan. And
is that
all
your
the
new
things.
Podcast sponsor?
Oh, God, I'd love that. Like, how good would that be?
The potash?
They're going to have to fight off Whole Foods for our affections, but they might be able to pull it off.
Whole Foods are into you guys?
They're big time into us. They just don't know it, Jeremy. They're big time into us.
We had a very big Whole Foods discussion on this podcast, so we're trying to get into their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Why? Because you like going in there and looking at the ladies?
Yes. You nailed it, buddy. You know it. You lived here. You know how this works.
Jeremy Taggart, thanks as always, my friend.
We love you, buddy.
Love you guys. That's the spot. See ya.
See ya.
That's Canadian rock legend Jeremy Taggart. He's on the Canadian Wall of Fame with his former band, Our
right
Lady
behind
Peace.
Jet.
Where is he?
Bottom row, right behind Jet, yeah.
Where?
Right there.
Oh, right here. Here he is.
Under Tom Green.
Look at it. He's got the glasses on in this picture. David, I don't know if you get a shot of him. He looks very angry here.
He was never smiling in any of their, the brand photos.
No. It was
like, I'm here to f- drum.
Yeah. Let me f- pound the skins and get the f- out of here. Can start up Superman's dead because I'm ready to f-ing play. No?
I always crank that. I still crank that album.
It's great. I love it.
Oh, my God.
I told him that. I said the beginning of that song, that's my love his drum so much on that. So good.
Well, we really did it this week.
I guess we're done.
It's Conor really McGregor. Fun. If you want to follow Conor on Twitter, he's at the Notorious MMA. Engineer Jim is at engineer_Jim. Jeremy Taggart is at Taggart7 on the end. Yep. Mike's at Micklehouse. I don't know what the hell that is.
My grandfather's nickname for me. Thanks. It's pretty special,
Mike.
Actually.
Way to bring the mood of the pod down.
He's a great man.
Jay and Dan Pod. You can follow that. You can follow Jay at Jay Onright. You can follow me at FS1 O'Toole.
Right, you can.
Conor McGregor better win that fight.
Boy.
I hope so.
He was a great guest.
Yeah.
And I love the Johnny Cash story. Thanks, Jim.
No. So keep your suggestions awesome. Coming. If you can, don't send the suggestions to Engineer Jim. Suggestions to Engineer Jim. Send them to the Jay and Dan Pod.
Yeah. We like to maybe surprise Jim. Some of the suggestions.
Like the fake band names for Dan.
Oh, yeah. We could use some more fake band names.
Coachella
next weekend.
Yeah, Coachella's coming up, so we'd like to do that again. With the Coachella
April
band.
Wine's headlining.
That's right. April Wine, Trooper, is on the second stage.
And Honeymoon Suite.
I loved Honeymoon
Suite. I loved Honeymoon Suite.
Yeah. They were a great group.
They were great. Yeah.
I wish the lead guitarist, I can't remember his name. I'm sure one of the podcast listeners will tell us, but he was a great guitarist, that guy.
And this song you're hearing now is The Hex Dolls.
Yeah. Follow them at The Hex Dolls. It's their song about Sergei Bobrovsky.
And very Blink-182-esque, Jimmy.
Very Blink, yes.
Very Blink. Yeah. Remember that video with Janine Lindemolder, the porn star, that Blink video?
Yeah.
She had great tits.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you next week.